freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports Station.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
And that fire!
People think, Stacy, that my wife saying take the bull by the hands is you?
Well, people also used to think that extra, extra was me, too, on headline rewrites. It's like a 1920s child.
Like a page boy or something.
Yeah.
No, there is one woman on the air, we've talked about this, who does sound like you.
Oh, yeah, she does a jewelry commercial.
The jewelry commercials. Yeah, that one's crazy.
That woman does a great job. I just want to say I would do a better job. So, like, no offense to that woman.
Right.
I'm sure she's thriving. She's living a great life. She's selling jewelry. But lots of people
think
that's
me, too. Do you own any diamonds?
Do I own any diamonds? No, but I own lots of jewelry from Zara and Forever 21.
So things that look like fake diamonds.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Cubic zirconia?
Yeah,
I own quite a bit of that.
Yeah, I got some of that CZ.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. Hey, so as I walk out the door here every day, I see Bump and Stacy. Well, Bump when he's here, but Stacy for sure. And we had a nice conversation yesterday regarding this Brady Henderson thing that we were discussing throughout the week, because Brady suggested, he was asked for an article and did a great job, went through a very detailed analysis of what a deal would look like. I stopped reading after the first couple of lines because it got way in the weeds.
Yeah.
But Brady's idea was 3 years, 3 years, $90 million for Geno, $50 million guaranteed. Brock and I both said, I don't know if I could do that if I was a Seahawks. So he said, text Bump and Stacy and see what they would say.
Yeah.
Bump said he couldn't do it either.
Yeah, because he doesn't know football.
Right. And and so of the four of us, you were the one who said, yeah, I would pull the trigger on that.
Brock wouldn't do it?
No. He said he would have a hard time doing that also.
Oh, is Brock not here today?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if he had just been sitting in silence.
No, Brock's not in today. It's a Friday. He's
too busy
and important for me.
You know what?
Why would you do it?
Well, this is kind of like my limit. I will stress that. This is kind of my limit. So I am really surprised. I'm going to backtrack. I am surprised that my take on Geno is even considered a take and is at all controversial. Like, it has blown my mind to where, like, I've had people texting in being like, you know, calling it Geno propaganda.
Wow.
Which I love.
A Geno propagandist.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. What I'm saying is, I thought Geno was pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty surprised by Geno. I was completely wrong about Geno at the beginning of the year. I was impressed enough by him that I would not mind at all seeing him be a starter for Seattle again in 2023. If the price is right, which to me, like, ideally you could get a little bit of a hometown discount, like it's closer to 30 or below that franchise tag value of 32.4. Who knows if it will be, but for me, that price is okay. You've got the sixth or seventh most cap space. You can make some roster moves. I mean, go look at the top 10 cap hits. You're going to find some stuff you can move around.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that, this is just my belief, I think that Geno, in my gut, gives me a better kind of a confidence in Geno in 2023 versus Drew. And I understand the take of like, well, if Geno did it, Drew could do it. Who knows?
Well, it's not Geno versus Drew. Those are all good points.
Well, no.
It's not Geno versus Drew.
I've seen a lot of like go with Drew.
Well, I'm not saying you don't go with Drew, but it's not Geno or Drew.
Then what is it?
It's Geno or Drew plus $20 million spent on your defensive line. Right.
I mean, sure. But bringing in Geno is not keeping you from spending on your defensive line. Secondly, you don't need to improve your defense exclusively via free agency. Like, you want to go and spend millions of dollars on some 34-year-olds, or do you want to go in the draft adding one or two guys?
I want to spend a lot of money on like a 28-year-old like Daron Payne.
Sure.
Right. I mean, and I think that's going to cost you near as much as that 20, 30 million you'd be spending on Geno. I want to go trade the number 20 pick for Max Crosby or Vita Vea or whomever. Like,
right.
I want to go crazy.
Okay. But if
making
you go
your
get,
defensive line great,
if
you got to pay
get
all those guys.
A 28, 29-year-old, you have a window, no?
Yeah.
You're now paying him. So is your offense good next year?
I think it could be.
Without
Geno?
With who?
I can't say
who's
without,
your starter?
It's Drew Lock.
Drew Lock's your starter?
Yes.
You think your offense is still top 10 scoring offense, maybe a top 5 scoring offense with Drew Lock as your starter?
Yes.
And if you do?
No,
what makes
I
you
don't
think
know.
That?
Because I didn't think you had a chance with Geno last year.
But exactly right. But here's the thing. I think that people think, like, get rid of Geno. Don't spend money. Go ahead and table the offense. Wait. Let's pause there. What do you mean table the offense? I was thinking of this analogy the other day. you ever know how some restaurants, especially like nicer restaurants, they change the menu?
Mm-hmm.
Justin, I don't know if they do this at Applebee's, but at some places they change the menu. I'm sorry, catching strays.
Applebee's
but the way I thought
Libby?
About, I love
They'd
Applebee's.
Kill for an Applebee's
hey,
and Libby.
You're eating good in the neighborhood. Let me tell you what.
Wow.
There are some places though that change the menu when you go there, and sometimes you go thinking they're going to have like your favorite steak dish, and that night they have chicken or pork or whatever,
sure.
and it's still good. It's still a nice restaurant, but you don't get to go back there and say, "I want to have what I want this year." So the way I think about the Geno thing is. Is he my ideal quarterback situation? No. Do I want to eat? Do I want to play this year? Do I want to compete? Yeah, I'd love to win games. So I think he's your best option.
Well,
I'm going
to take your analogy, though, and say the restaurant where you don't always know what's going to be on the menu, the reason you go back there is because you trust the chef.
Yeah.
Because every time you go in there, there's good food. And the first time you went in, it was Russell Wilson. He was a third-round pick, and they turned it into a five-star meal. And the next time you went in, you're like, sheesh, they don't have Russell Wilson on the menu anymore. I hope they do pretty well with this other thing. Hey, it turned into a five-star meal. That was fantastic.
Sure.
Well, that guy's going to go, and you've got one other dude who's around. And
Why didn't the chef choose him?
I don't know. He didn't choose him last year, maybe because he had COVID and he missed some time.
No, I don't think that's why,
I don't either, but that's part of the story. All I know is that throughout the year, I kept hearing from that chef how good tomorrow's dinner might be. He kept saying, like, I know you might like the steak, but if you come tomorrow, the pork chop's pretty delicious.
Yeah.
And we heard that from Pete all year long. And so if the pork chop is going to cost, I don't know, half, a quarter, a third as much as the steak.
Important to note that pork chop would still be significantly cheaper than the best pork chops.
I know, but maybe that pork chop's going to come with some really good sides and a great dessert that I don't
pork
get with the steak.
Pork chop turns over the ball a lot.
I know.
Yeah, pork chop does turn over the ball.
But so did the
pork
steak
chop makes some
this
questionable
year.
Oh, the steak? But the steak, okay, first of all, the steak was fine. The steak did not lose you games.
That's true. I agree with you.
That's the one take I can't get over is people being like, well, Geno got you, what, 9-8? Hold up. Geno got you 9-8. Last time I checked, Geno didn't get you a loss against the Saints. He had like three touchdowns.
No, he was good.
Allowing 235 rushing yards.
Yeah, because my take's not about Geno. I have no problem.
I hear you.
I would love
you.
To have Geno Smith back. If Geno wanted to sign a deal for well below what his market is going to
be. Sign me
up. It's not an anti-Geno take. Honestly, my take is about the issues they have elsewhere on their roster.
1,000%.
And trying to come up with the best way to fix those issues.
So let's go in that direction.
All right.
How much time do you have? Is this an open?
Got like a minute, but that's fine.
Okay.
Go with it.
I'll just
go
be
with
over
it.
Here eating
We're
mozzarella
great. Fantastic.
If anybody wants to come on.
Sorry, Justin.
Cal.
With my friend Cal.
Catching shrapnel over there. Him and Cal hanging
okay.
out.
So let's end on that note, okay? Because Leatherman. I think you're right. I think it ultimately comes down to not whether or not people like Geno as a potential option, but whether or not they think that bringing back Geno means you can improve the defense enough. I think that I'm more comfortable bringing back Geno because I see more improvement potential in the draft versus free agency.
I like the idea. I like where you're going. I don't trust draft picks. Not year one. And this. And by the way, if I'm going to trust what Geno did last year, I should probably trust the ability of draft picks now to come in and start contributing right away. But it's hard for me. It just we've seen so many of those guys, you know, even
but
the
if you're going
ones,
out and getting a free
a
agent,
years.
It's because you want to win sooner.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so win with who?
I don't know. Drew Lock.
God, see, but that's what
Neither
I'm saying.
That team is not good either. I know. It's not an easy argument. This is why I had to have Stacey come in and present it. This is the kind of genius that you hear daily from 10
God,
to 2.
I don't know how many people would say that.
Well, all right, some days anyway.
Yeah.
When Stacey hits upon a good one, you get to hear it then.
That's right.
You get to hear it from 10 to 2 with Bump and Stacey every day here on Seattle Sports. Thank you, Stacey. Thank you, Stacey.
Look, I apologize to one person, and it's Justin.
No, obviously.
I'm not going to accept your apology.
Applebee's has
I will
steak.
I meet you at Applebee's.
They have steak.
They got those baby back ribs, too, right?
They're wonderful.
Or is that Chili's?
I think they also have the $1 swill cocktails there.
I was going to say,
too.
They have like $1 margaritas. Right. I don't know what's in them. They're like neon blue.
We really got to go. Thank you, Stacey. You can stick around bumping Stacey right after us at 10 o'clock. We'll be right back on Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
That was a fun argument with Stacey there about what to do with Geno Smith. And she makes some good points. There is no great way to turn yourself into an immediate contender for the Super Bowl. For the most part, the only teams that we view in that light are teams that have either incredible quarterbacks who are getting paid big money, a la Patrick Mahomes, or teams that have struck gold in the draft recently, a la Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts, etc. The Seahawks aren't really in either of those positions, so they're trying to write a different script to get to where they want to go. Will it work? I don't know, but this quote from Max Kellerman, who was on with Bump and Stacey yesterday, I think is an important one.
Pete Carroll clearly can win with Geno Smith. Now, can you win the whole thing? That remains to be seen, right? You do feel like you're not at an advantage if you're playing another team that's also good and well-coached, but they have a spectacular quarterback. But like Daniel Jones, although Geno has better receiving targets, it's one thing to say, well, he's just in a good system. But it's another thing to say nobody's playing it well, right? Geno Smith played well, at least what I saw. You guys are paying closer attention to Geno and the Seahawks than I am. But I thought Geno played well this year. And you can do a lot worse than Geno Smith over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and honestly, as much as I honestly love Max Kellerman, I think he's one of the best in the business at what he does, but it's a very New York-centric argument. Yeah, for the Seahawks, you should absolutely be good enough with what you got. But for a real team like the New York Jets or the Giants, they should absolutely be looking for the best of the best. Look, I like Geno Smith. I think he had a good year. I think you can win games with Geno. The goal is to win a Super Bowl, and you're going to have to figure out the rest of the roster in order to get to that point.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, just news coming out a few minutes ago. Sounds like the Broncos are requesting an interview with Sean Desai. Can you say no to that? Like, yeah, no, we're good. Actually, no, you can't
There's
interview
been
Sean
There's enough exchanges
Desai.
Between us in the last
I think we're good, and no, you can't have them. Probably not the way this will happen, but I don't blame them. I would want to interview Sean Desai as well, by all accounts. Really smart dude with a very good take on how to teach what he's doing. The Seahawks secondary certainly improved with him and Carl Scott and what they did on the back end this year. In fact, Quandre Diggs, Pro Bowler once again. Tariq Woolen, Pro Bowler as well. And saw both of them yesterday as I was enjoying some of the skills competition yesterday afternoon. Saw Jordan Poyer crushing a golf ball to beat out TJ Hawkinson. Laughed at Za'Darius Smith, who had never golfed before in his life. Watched a YouTube video. And all that was fairly entertaining. The other thing that came out of it was Derek Carr being asked about being hot in Vegas.
You've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. It's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Pretty good line. Good job by him. Good job by Derek Carr.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, one thing is clear after listening to Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais and Justin Hollander and Cal Raleigh and everybody else, Teoscar Hernandez, connected with the Mariners this week. They're confident. They're very confident in their season moving forward. And while there are some segment of the fan base that is not happy with what they did in the offseason, Jerry DePoto has a little reminder about the gap they need to close.
We didn't view our offseason goal as trying to close a 16-game gap with the Astros. We don't feel like we were a true 16-game separation away from them because our team changed so much while that was all happening. So, you know, broadly, yeah, we finished behind them by that amount. You know, more acutely, what we saw after Luis joined the team, second half George Kirby was considerably different than first half George Kirby. You know, June to September, Julio was very different than April and May, Julio. And then the same for Cal Raleigh. And the same, our team evolved.
Well, I believe he's right about that. And the team that you saw in the second half, the team post-acquisition of Luis Castillo, that's a team built on its starting rotation, especially once George Kirby comes into his own, etc. That's why the Mariners are dangerous. That's why the Mariners are who they are. They're a pitching and defense team. The offense needs to score just enough, and I think they've upgraded it with Teoscar and Colton Wong. So looking forward. I mean, I just wish it was starting now and that we didn't have to wait a few more weeks to get down to spring training. That is everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour here on the new Brock and Salk show. Fun art. Stacey's one of my favorite people around to argue with. because she has fun with it and she's incredibly smart and makes really sound arguments that make me think. So thanks to her for coming in. Usually I like to just sort of joke around, but honestly, Stacey is a fantastic debater, really argumentative in a good way, and always makes me think, and I just love their show. So every day, 10 o'clock, you can listen to Bump and Stacey following this program. It is Friday. It is almost 9:30, and you know what that means?
Time to go to Applebee's?
Maybe. That's 10:30.
Okay.
10:30 is Applebee's time.
Okay.
9:30 is open phone lines.
She got me starving there for...
I got to be honest with you guys. If you don't have something to call in about today, I don't even want to know you. Like, there's so many conversations. Do you have an opinion on paying Geno Smith and what to do if you don't? Do you have an opinion on Jared Kelnick, who we've been talking about all week, and whether or not the Mariners are doing the right thing by betting on Kelnick to start the year in left field? Do you have an opinion on whether the Mariners have closed the gap and everything you heard from Jerry and Scott and everybody else this week regarding the excitement about this Mariners season? Do you have an opinion on the Pro Bowl? Do you have an opinion on you name it, man? Matty Beniers, cheap shot. I mean, like, there should not be any shortage of opinions this week in Seattle sports. You have an opinion on the coaching searches and Sean Payton and all that? 866-979-3776, the phone number, 866-979-3776. We're going to take a break here in a minute, and I would expect that every one of these phone lines will be full because every single Seattle sports fan, even if there's only six listening, all six should be calling in with an opinion on one of those subjects today. Or something else. You get to be in charge. Mm-hmm. That's the fun part about this. If I've been talking too much Geno for you and you got a take on something else, hey, 866-979-3776.
Was Justin a bully in high
school? Yeah, was I apparently a bully because I wanted to go back to 13?
Stop subjecting us to picturing him making out in public.
Should Maura wear her green gigantic hands every day to cover up her elongated fingers?
Idea.
All right, 866-979-3776. Whatever's on your mind, we're here to talk to you next.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Truly one of the great traditions we've established over the course of the last year plus. Well, Fella Friday, Fella Cootie. For people that don't know Fella Cootie, you should find, like, go do a Spotify search or whatever and just listen to some Fella Cootie. It'll put you in a great mood on a celebratory day, like a Friday as you're getting ready for the weekend. Great vibe. So thank you, Maura, for putting me in a great mood. And we'll see what the people have today. We got about 15 minutes worth of calls. Then we'll do some ranking to put Maura in a bad mood before everything's done. 866-979-3776. We'll kick it off with Bruce in the capital city of Olympia. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Say, I just wanted to call. I've been listening to Bump and Stacey for ad nauseum all week about the love fest with our current quarterback. And they're comparing him to the quarterbacks of the NFC who are, they all agree are, for the most part, mediocre. They said that he would be a top of the line in the NFC, but I'd ask to look at the AFC. AFC's got all these young quarterbacks. They got Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Buffalo. They got all these young quarterbacks. We're at a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in the top five to pick a new quarterback that's going to be with us for a bunch of years.
So do you think there is
a
pick?
Chance to lead a team.
Is there a guy that you would take at number five?
Any one of the top three. I don't care.
So you get
one of the top three.
I think the problem I have here, Bruce, if the Seahawks rather were in the top two or three, and Bryce Young was going to be a legitimate possibility for them, I think I'd be there with you and say, yeah, absolutely. I'm not convinced that C.J. Stroud's going to be available, and I'm not convinced that Will Levis is in that same category with those other two guys.
May very well be, but, you know, like I say, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We got really lucky with Wilson in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
If we expect that to happen again, I think we're just wishing in one hand. So,
well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call.
We need a quarterback.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it. And I don't think you're alone in that view. That's what D-Mac's been telling us from Denver. Like, you're not going to take a quarterback with a top-five pick? Are you crazy?
If that pick was in the top three, would you? Like, did Lovie Smith save Geno's job?
He might have. if it's in the top three and you had a shot or you know, I'm not convinced Stroud's that guy either, but I absolutely understand the Bryce Young conversation. Yeah, if the Seahawks could get Bryce Young, I think they should draft him. But I don't know whether that's going to be a real possibility for them at, excuse me, at number five. 866-979-3776. Let me go to George in Spokane. What's going on, George?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got my take on Kelnick. I don't think he's going to make it. I just think he's too much into his own head.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like to me, at least from the surface, from watching his fan, that it just seems like he cannot handle the frustration. And I also think he's jealous of not being like the guy, like Julio is now. And he's never going to be the guy with Julio in the lineup.
It's a fair question. I mean, I don't think you're alone in that view. I just, it's hard for me to make that judgment of a kid his age when he hasn't, you know, been there long enough and matured enough to be able to get over it. Look, George, if Jared Kelnick doesn't make it, it's going to be exactly because of what you said, right? It'll be because he's not able to figure it out. It's not even really mentally. I don't think that's quite the right word because mentally is his smarts. I don't think it's a smarts issue for him. I think it's emotionally, right? It's not a mental acuity thing. He's not dumb. He's not emotionally regulated enough. And the one thing I do know from raising kids, which I'm certainly not done with yet, but I'm in the process of doing, is that as they get older, their ability to regulate their emotions generally gets better. I don't know at what age that stops. I haven't raised anybody to Kelnick's age of 23, but I do know that as people get older, generally their emotional regulation gets better. His may need to still kick in. It might not be in time. I don't know.
But there is some of a mental strength to that in sports because we talked about how, I mean, how much Pete Carroll and Russell both study that mm-hmm. and how much Russell worked on just if you have a bad game or like the Super Bowl happens or anything, how you have to put it behind you and move yep. on. There is a mental aspect.
And you got
to
do
that.
It even more so in
There's
baseball.
There's emotions involved too, but
I guess I would differentiate it a little bit. Look, we're splitting hairs because I think we're all talking about the same thing. But for me, mental is, do you study the game? Do you know what pitch they're going to throw? Do you understand the sequencing? Do you understand the game of baseball and all of the mental decisions that go into it? I think those things are different from can I control my emotions? But I'll tell you what I do think. I think his emotions control his mental. I think when he gets emotional, then he swings out of his shoes. Then he's trying to make up and do things that in his brain he knows are the wrong thing to do, but it's unfortunately being affected by that lizard brain people have that is just emotional reaction that's hard to control. Believe me, it takes one to know one. I got some of the same problems, Jared. I feel you. 866-979-3776. Let me go to Mike in Stanwood. What's up, Mike? Good morning.
Good morning. I just had to laugh when I realized you guys kind of assigned Drew Locke a new nickname.
What's that?
Pork Chop.
Pork Chop Locke. Yeah. Yeah, just like, what was the guy's name a few years ago? Was it Pork Chop Womack? Yeah.
That's really good.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. That's okay. All I had today. To me, that's more of a text than a call, but all right. Hey, I appreciate it. I said everybody needed to have an opinion today.
That's right.
And Mike is on the list. I appreciate you, Mike, and everybody else. 866-979-3776. How about Jim in Centralia? Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Jay, since you were talking about Jared, I just had to make a quick comment before I get to Gino. On Jared, he just can't hit an outside pitch. He gets struck out too many times, and I don't think it's mental. He just doesn't have the skills to do it yet, or he may never have it.
I don't know, man. I think that is more likely a residual effect of some of the other problems. Because in talking to the scouts and talking to people around him, I haven't heard that much of that, honestly. I've not heard too many people say that that's the issue. There may be some pitch recognition and some of that, but I don't think it's that he can't hit an outside pitch. I think it's more of what he's trying to do with those pitches, which is a little bit more emotion and mental rather than physical.
Okay.
All right. It's a good call. I appreciate it. What do you want to say about Gino, Jim?
Oh, Gino, we can't. I don't believe that we can afford him. Unless no one else is willing to pay him, it's going to take our team. After watching the playoffs this year, it was like those teams are so much better on us better than us on defense, especially. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take us a couple of years to get our draft picks up to line. And I think we need, if we're going to get some free agents, you got to sign them for at least 2 or 3 years so that we can be a better team and make a run for the Super Bowl.
So how would you handle this? Who would be your quarterback next year?
Well, if they can't get Geno at a bargain price, I could go with Drew, or I don't so much care about quarterback as who the other players they need. I think they need 8-10 players that to replace like our defensive line and linebackers. Wow. aren't strong enough.
Well, they're going to be getting some of that through the draft. Obviously, they've got a lot of draft picks this year, and some of it, I agree, needs to come through free agency. I think what we're not talking about enough is the potential for trades. John Schneider's always been good at this, and I'm going to keep coming back to that number 20 pick. It just, because it was right around the same spot that the Eagles used to acquire A.J. Brown last year, it's just kind of in my head as a potential spot to get a premier player. You're not going to trade the number 5 pick for a player. You might trade back a few spots or something like that, but you're not trading that 5 pick away for a player. Number 20 pick? Yeah, you might. That's right in the range that can get you a player of A.J. Brown's skill set. And if you need that, but on the defensive side of the ball, I got no issues. And that's why I am interested in names like Max Crosby and Vita Vea and some of the others that we've thrown out there, because I think that would be a fantastic way to get this team better in a hurry. 866-979-3776. Let me grab Ed in Coeur d'Alene.
You're not going to be able to cover right now.
All right, Ed, what's going on, man?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Ed, who are you talking to?
Get your son moving.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll call her.
Hey, Ed.
Yes, oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Who are you talking to? What's going on? What, you and wife in a fight? What's going on here, man?
Well, almost. No. Hey, I got a question for you. Okay. I got a question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
It's been in the back of my mind for a couple of years since this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suppose that the comments that Mather made about Kelnick has had any effect on his attitude / performance? Because I know at one point in time, I think I heard you guys say he even removed any mention of the Mariners out of his social media.
Yeah.
I just wonder if maybe that might have had an effect and still has a lingering effect on him with his attitude and performance.
I don't know, man.
The social media scrubbing happened last.
Yeah, the social media stuff was after he got sent down, or maybe it was even after Taylor Trammell got called up, and he was a little frustrated because he thought he should have been the next one to get called up. I don't know whether I could say that one's related. But, Ed, I don't think it's a bad question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. Here's the weird way in which it might have actually been a blessing. Because the Mariners offered Jared Kelnick big money. Before he, like, kind of what they did with Evan White, they offered him a long-term big money deal, and he turned it down. And I don't know if he turned it down because of Kevin Mather or not, but that's probably one of the best things.
I remember when that was.
It was before he'd even made it to the big leagues. And that might have been one of
before
the best
Mather
things.
Made those comments?
That's right. Yeah, it was that same season, same offseason.
Okay, okay.
That might have been one of the best things that could have happened to them as you look at things right now. Can you imagine if Jared Kelnick was locked up for like 5-6 more years in a big deal?
Yeah. Did he think? Whew. Get a bet on himself there, thought it was worth more.
And unfortunately, it's not worked out for him, and maybe that's had an effect on him, right? Thinking, oh, my God, I passed on all this money, and now I'm not even sure if I'm a major leaguer.
That's right.
Major issue.
Him and Evan White paid a bunch of money, too, and didn't get much out of for those kind early
years. It really would have been bizarre. 866-979-3776. Travis is in T-Town. What's going on, my man?
I just wanted to call and comment on ranks. I've been listening to the show, all three versions of it, so I listened to it from Iraq years back in 08, 09. Rank is my favorite segment I've ever heard on the show.
Yeah.
Aww.
Largely because I love how much it tweaks Maura's nose. And I think she's hilarious. Maura, you're so funny. And you're never funnier than when you're irritated and poking at them.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's the best. And I got to admit, I love all the music and cultural references.
Yeah.
I love sports, but sometimes it gets a little exhausting, sports all the time.
Yeah.
So a little cultural reference doesn't hurt.
Travis, I got to tell you, it's a real pick-me-up
Travis,
today on a Friday.
Travis, your check's in the mail. I appreciate
that. That's really nice. Thank you. I'm assuming you were in Iraq as serving our country, so I will also take a moment to say thank you for that. We appreciate it, and thank you for your service, Travis.
Thank you.
We're big in Iraq, by the way. I've heard. I don't know whether that's true. Could you confirm that? We've always prided ourselves on being one of the biggest sports shows in Iraq. Is that still true?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
I do know. I watch you guys. I listen to you guys the next morning, or the next work morning after. Was that Beast Quake was right out? You were gone.
We were here for that. Yeah. No, we were on the next day. Absolutely. What do you think is the strangest place in Iraq you've ever listened to our show?
We were on a long, I can't really talk about it, mission near Fallujah.
Yeah.
And we used satellite radio to pull you guys in and listen to stuff.
That's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of awesome.
An 18-hour mission from the turret with a machine gun. So
unbelievable.
That's probably the strangest one.
Hey, Travis, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Thank you for your service
as
well.
That's cool.
Big in Fallujah. That's going to be our new motto for the show. Put that right in the open. We can take that Sherman stuff right out.
My husband is headed over there now, so I can check in and see if
we're
still
a big show. People are still talking.
I think I sent you guys a photo one time. A buddy of mine was sitting in his horse trailer somewhere in Montana, and he's like, I'm watching you on TV. I was like, he sent a picture of his boots up in the trailer. Awesome. They're like, what? How is this happening? I love hearing it.
Going to grab one more real quick. Go to Mo in Onalaska. What's going on, Mo?
You on TV.
What's up?
Oh, I think we lost Mo.
We lost Mo. All right. We give one more then. We'll give the last word to Jason in Everett. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
All right. Well, first I want to start off with I wish we had a crystal ball and traded Kelnick right when he came out, man. We would have called in some good players for him. I just think he's a few years away from his potential. But my call regarding Geno, I think we need to re-sign him, man. It's hard to get someone that knows the offense as well as Geno, who's clicked with our players, our core players, Lockett, DK. If it doesn't go over $30 million, I think we need to sign him.
Hmm. We'll find out, man. I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for weighing in on this. Certainly, you're not alone. I think probably the majority would agree with you, Jason, that is the right move for the Seahawks. So, good stuff. Great calls today. Clearly, Jared Kelnick and Geno Smith are the hot-button issues right now.
That is true.
And it's funny, the Kelnick issue is, when you think about the Mariners, he's not the reason this team's going to be good or bad this year, right? I mean, if he's great, obviously that would help.
And you were starting off last year saying that.
I know, and I was dead wrong. But, it's so interesting. Like, he's so far down on the list of, what they're expecting, right? It's Julio, and it's this pitching staff, and it's the new guys with Teoscar, and there's a Eugenio and Ty France and Cal Raleigh. Like, they're not counting on Kelnick right now. So while he's one of the most interesting conversations, the Mariners' season isn't dependent upon him, and that probably more than anything shows what a great spot they've put themselves in.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
A lot of comments here about Travis's call a few minutes ago. One says they used Brock and Saul to torture terrorists. Now, that's not right.
Whoa.
That is unnecessary, wow. 602. Okay. How dare you? There's a lot of others that are rude. Dude clearly suffered a head injury if he likes Ranked. That's not nice.
206 says, OMG, stay strong, Mora. Ranked is the worst. At least I have the option to tune out for a few minutes, but you have to endure it every day. I feel for you.
I agree 1,000%. I love angry Mora as long as it's directed not at me.
I don't like Ranked at all, but I want you to keep having Ranked for the veteran in Iraq. There we go.
Saul keeps having his friends call in. No, you've already told me I don't have friends, so that can't be true. All right, today, there were a bunch of weekly papers that were started on this day in history. And so we have weeks ranked. Weeks.
And Jared ranked. Talked about Hell Week.
True.
Quite a bit.
Yep, yeah, how difficult it was to talk to us all.
Thomas Edison printed the Weekly Herald started this week.
All right, so Weeks ranked. There are some people, certainly Ricky Weeks, who played briefly for the Mariners, right? Didn't he make his way over here after a career spent in Milwaukee? I think he was a Jack Zarensky-era Mariner.
Must have, because that was the first thing that popped into my mind. Yeah. I don't know how or why.
He's a pretty good player in Milwaukee, not so much here. Of course, you got golfer Boo Weekly. Big guy. He's been around for it forever, essentially.
Okay.
Not surprisingly, there are some songs like Sisters with Voices.
I get so weak in the knees. I can hardly speak. I lose all control.
That's a banger.
More likes the star.
More likes SWV. She's all in. She's probably going to go a little downhill, though, with Van Morrison.
Lay you down.
That's Astral Weeks.
That is
from Van Morrison.
Sneaky, sneaky hit. You not like it? You're not reacting to it.
I like Van Morrison. I like Van Morrison. Honestly, he's one of those people where his most famous song I dislike so much that it's hard for me to get into his other stuff, even though I like it.
Moondance?
No, Brown Eyed Girl.
I know, but I was like,
I love Moondance. I like a lot of his other songs, but if you're like, hey, are you a Van Morrison fan? The like shadow of
what that song
Brown Eyed Girl.
Of course, the guy who hates Tom Hanks and Julie Andrews hates Brown Eyed Girl too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's on par.
That's a really that is on brand.
Here's Vampire Weekend.
That song makes you think of Step Brothers constantly. It
makes sense. American Hi-Fi.
Just the flavor of the week.
Yeah. That early 2000s power punk pop.
Yep. Ballad pop.
Yeah.
Or ballad punk pop.
That's a lot of it. Stone Temple Pilots did Days of the Week. Okay.
Like that one a lot. Wait, we just got somebody that wants to sponsor ranked.
Somebody does? Who's that?
I don't know. I want to hear about it, though. Text us back.
Text us back for sure.
I'm more interested in Homer in Alaska says he's listening while slaughtering halibut and black cod and said, let me know if you want any. Yes, thank you.
Oh, in Alaska?
Yes, please.
Nice.
I would love 100%. Halibut. Yes. Black cod?
Yeah. Oh, the halibut. Yeah.
I'll be good on a weekend. That's Weekend Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm.
We got Belinda Carlisle. I love this song.
I mean, obviously, I like the Go-Go's.
She was in the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she went on her own. Yeah.
Wait, are you guys drinking W-E-E-K or W-E-A-K?
We're drinking Weeks more.
Weeks more. But I'm weak, and what's wrong with that?
Boy, oh boy, I love it when I fall through that. So two different words.
Love it, JR.
It's just the word weak. We're just ranking Weeks.
What
Ricky Weeks.
What part of that you think she missed?
We were very particular about the way MLB Network should do rankings earlier this morning.
So, you know, this is radio, not writing. Big difference. This is an audio spoken format. Perhaps you remember the linebacker that we had in here every week throughout the season, KJ Wright, because he was a weak side linebacker. You got some movies like My Week with Marilyn, Shark Week, of course, every year on the Discovery Channel.
Shark Week's not a top 5 week?
No. Overrated.
Ouch.
Overrated week.
Ouch.
Can't watch it at my house. Avery's too afraid of sharks.
The follow-up to 28 days later?
Yeah, that was 28 weeks later. Now, you do have Weekend at Bernie's.
You guys had quite the conversation about those earlier. You were very confused
about
what those were.
Yeah. 28 days later, a Sandra Bullock movie.
John Oliver does Last Week Tonight. You got My Week with Marilyn. So there are some honorable mentions in terms of weeks. But let me get to the top five. Number five.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Only because of the sheer...
Man, she was mean.
She was ubiquitous for like 6 months.
Yeah.
In 2001.
People still say it. Like, that had staying power.
It did.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
425 says, because you guys seem to have trouble remembering what you've already done, ranked sponsored by Ginkgo Biloba.
Oh. That's true. That would actually work pretty well.
That's good.
We could use that. Number four.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
Everybody likes that song, right?
Everybody's stretching.
Everybody.
It's kind of annoying.
Everybody knows the word.
It's just super catchy.
Very catchy.
Everybody at least sort of likes that song.
Yes. Somebody said Kevin Weeks. Brandon in Sacramento, Kevin Weeks.
Who's Kevin Weeks?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know.
There was a Tyrone Weeks played for UMass in the 90s. Kevin Weeks. Oh, the goalie, Kevin Weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, now he's on ESPN or TNT, one or the other.
Oh,
yeah, Kevin Weeks.
Kevin Weeks, and it says American former mobster and longtime friend of Whitey Bulger.
I don't know that Kevin Weeks.
But there is an ice hockey player. Yeah.
Cool. Hockey player. He's a goalie cooler. For a long time. He's a good goalie. Number three, Weeks ranked. That he wasn't going to make it in there?
No, I'm starting to get nervous that what I think are top 5 weeks are not going to make the top 5 weeks.
Like Weak and Powerless by Perfect Circle?
I like that.
I don't really know that.
Ugh.
I can play it for you. That's not a top 5 week.
I was thinking it was going to be top 5, but...
Did you want this to be top 5? His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his... Maybe if it was in the title of the song, but no. That doesn't quite make it. Sorry.
Keep going.
What are we on? Number 2?
Yep.
All right. Number 2.
Okay, good.
I mean, a song with arguably the worst lyrics of all time. You want a piece of my heart.
So, wait, where is the word?
Weekend? Everybody's working for the weekend.
We're including weekend now, too. So, you have three different words going on.
Not exactly week. It's in weekend.
More, you want a piece of my heart? You better start from the start.
I'm good. Right, I'm good. Thank you.
You gotta start from the start. There's no other place to start if you want a piece
of
my heart.
So, Diamond Rio is not near, not number one. As well.
No. Assuming. Diamond Rio was not number one. I'll play it for you, though. In a week or two, didn't quite crack my top one, no.
Brock would love this. In a week or
two. God, this reminds me of growing up in AM tough, radio man. In Montana.
Never That's heard that song in my life.
Me neither.
Diamond Rio.
Never heard of Diamond Rio, let alone heard of that song.
Oh, that's a good one.
The number 1 week, I think, should be fairly obvious. What a way to finish off a Friday show.
Maybe I'll watch some Weekend Update.
Little Beatles Harmony. Oh, Weekend Update's a good one.
It was on the list.
8 days a week.
And no Weekend at Bernie's.
No, I think I mentioned Weekend at Bernie's, though. Didn't quite make the top 5.
All right.
All right.
Can't agree on everything.
Nope. That's how it goes. That's how it's ranked, man. Can't all agree.
Stacey inspired me. I'll be going to Applebee's today. I got to find one first.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Seriously, we'll be back Monday morning, 6 a.m. Stick around for Bump and Stacey. They're next. Till then, the hay is in the barn. See ya. Right to the chopper!